Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created this center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest today and our conversation this morning is with Dr. Rita Colwell, Director of the National Science Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
And joining us in our conversation is Tom Berlin. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Rita.
Well, Rita, let's start by finding out more about NSF. Could you tell us about its mission and its activities?
The mission of NSF is to continue to ensure America's place at the forefront of scientific and engineering capability and to develop a technically competent workforce for what is a rapidly changing world.
Could you give us a sense of the budget and the people who work at it, the number of people working, and even the types of people? When I think about science, I think of a wide range of people.
The budget right now for the fiscal 2003 is $5.3 billion. We have a staff of about 1,250 full-time employees and about 350 contract employees. We have a lot of rotating scientists and educators, meaning people who come in, probably about 500 or 600 of the total, who come in for two or three years, scientists from university, from industry, who will spend time with us and continually bring in the wonderful new ideas, new thoughts, new directions. It's a very dynamic situation.
And they're coming from academia?
They come from academia, but predominantly universities around the country, but also we do bring in folks from industry on occasion.
Now, NSF has a unique governance structure. Could you tell us about the National Science Board?
The National Science Foundation was established in 1950. It was an act of Congress signed by Harry Truman on May 10, 1950, from the back of a train in Pocatello, Idaho. So if you pass through Pocatello, have a toast to the National Science Foundation. But it comprises the director in the National Science Board, which is very interesting because the director, I report directly to the President of the United States. The Science Board reports to the director, advises the director, and advises the President on major policy issues. Its role is to set policy for the Foundation and to advise the director on the processes of the foundation, mainly with respect to policy. It approves budgets, and it acts as a sounding board. It's very helpful, and it's quite unique.
Thank you. That's very informative. Rita, how about yourself? Can you share with us some of your roles and responsibilities as a director?
As the director of the National Science Foundation, I have a staff of about, let's say, 9 or 10 people who report directly to me, all together, including the fiscal officers and the legal counsel and so forth. It's probably a team of about a dozen that are the major senior counsel for the National Science Foundation. Interestingly, the National Science Foundation sets the direction, really, for fundamental research and engineering in the United States. We fund everything from anthropology and archaeology all the way to zoology, if you will, engineering, biosciences, computer sciences, social behavioral economic sciences, as well as the traditional math, physics, chemistry, material science. So we fund research for the country, and the proposals come in. They are prepared by scientists and engineers around the country. We receive about 35,000 proposals every year, and we have about 50,000 people on the Rolodex, if you will, who act as reviewers. So we do about 250,000 reviews, and then we select 9,000 proposals. We usually have about 10,000 ongoing, so it's somewhere between 19,000 and 20,000 proposals that we're managing every year. So it's a complicated job in that I coordinate what goes on within the NSF, But I'm also the spokesperson externally, which means a lot of talks, visits, site visits, speeches throughout the country. But I must say, it's a challenge, but it's wonderful. I often tell people I have the best job in Washington.
That's wonderful. One of the things that's always interesting to me is the background and experiences that prepare people for these types of positions. Can you share with us some of your prior career experiences prior to becoming the director of NSF?
I do have a rather unusual background in that I have a background that includes a bachelor's degree in bacteriology. Now, in the time since I got my degree, that generally most universities now would have that included within a department of biology. I did a master's degree in genetics, classical genetics and molecular genetics, which was really a very good foundation. And from there, studies at the University of Washington in Seattle on marine microbiology, which means that I have a degree, a PhD in oceanography. Now, that's quite unusual because it's a span of training that I think has enabled me to be an effective director. I did a postdoc in Canada at the National Research Council and spent time, therefore, in another country. Well, you may not consider Canada another country, but I think Canada certainly does. From there, I taught at Georgetown University and then at the University of Maryland as a full professor with a very active research group, founded the Sea Grant College Program at the University of Maryland, College Park, and then founded the University of Maryland Biotechnology Institute. This occurred while I was the academic vice president and provost for the University of Maryland system. From there, of course, I was tapped to become the director of the National Science Foundation. My research, personal research, has involved work in Bangladesh and India on cholera, tracking the origins of cholera. We made some very exciting discoveries over the last 25 years, showing that the bacterium really is an environmental bacterium. It was a clue that I got being a marine microbiologist. I discovered that the bacterium, in fact, requires salt for growth because it's marine, and it's associated with plankton, and we were able to use remote sensing to show the relationship of the epidemics of cholera with sea surface temperature and sea surface height, which means tides and the ocean influenced cholera epidemics. This was quite unheard of and, of course, was against the dogma. But we were able to put all of the basic research to good practical use. We discovered that the bacteria are attached to plankton, microscopic animals living in the sea. We were able to show that if you took cloth, the cloth that women use for their dresses, sari cloth, folded 4 to 8 times, you got a very good filter of about 20 micrometers. And these plankton are about 200 micrometers. So we did a very large study showing that if you filtered water before you drank it in these villages where they don't have water purification, we were able to reduce cholera by 48%. So that was a major study that showed a very practical human benefit from all of this research, which included oceanography, clinical microbiology, medicine, remote sensing, mathematics, mathematical modeling, etc. So it was a very interesting background that led to some very important human discoveries, which is one of the reasons why I love being at the National Science Foundation, because it covers all of science, and it's like being in a candy store for a scientist to be at the head of a National Science Foundation.
As I said, I'm never disappointed with that question because I find that it takes very diverse and convergent backgrounds to be able to take on responsibilities as broad as that as the director of NSF. What is there any particular experience that you would relate back to that really helps you in your current position?
I do think that running a very large laboratory was the primary training. At the University of Maryland, I had a laboratory at one point with 30 or 40 people, and a budget well over $1 million. And this was, you know, 20, 25 years ago when $1 million was a whole lot more than it is now, unfortunately, for us now. And it was a important responsibility to keep track of the funding, to keep track of students, graduate students, and their career progress, to have postdoctoral fellows, and to have visiting scientists from countries all over the world. At one point, they referred to my lab as the United Nations because we had scientists from Africa and Europe and the UK and Japan and China. But it was very good for the students and certainly a marvelous training for interdisciplinary, international science, much of what NSF does.
Well, that's a good point. We've heard a lot already about NSF grants. Who's eligible, how much money's involved, and what's the process? We'll ask Dr. Rita Caldwell of NSF to tell us more about the grants when the Business of Government Hour returns.